Thank you, Eric. Thank you guys so much. We are continuing a series entitled The Truth About. Last week we talked about the truth about bitterness, and I thought that maybe today might be a good day. I was praying through maybe where to go next, and we want to deal in this series with issues that maybe there's some confusion within the church. When I say the church, I mean the church across America or maybe across the world, where there's some confusion in that area or maybe it's been ignored. And so today we're going to talk about something, and I hope that I will offend none, but there's a chance that's not going to happen. So we're going to talk about the truth about health today. Oh yeah, everybody's looking at me like, oh, this is going to be good. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about health, first of all. If you go back 30 years ago in Christianity and you try to find a book written about health from a Christian perspective, you're not going to find many. About 30 years ago, there just wasn't a lot of discussion about your physical health and what the Bible had to say about it. Now, every now and then you would come across someone who maybe came out of a background of Judaism and they were trying to advance the Mosaic dietary code and all this kind of stuff. You might find something like that. But as a general rule, it's been within the last 30 years that the church has sort of woken up or become interested in the idea of your physical health. And there are some reasons why the church was sort of slow on the uptake. I mean, we all know this. We all know that this is true. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So a lot of people's idea was, why rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, right? I mean, you know, we're all sort of sinking one day, so why rearrange that? And then I think the other idea was sort of a faulty view of Calvinism. And here's what I mean by that. Those of us who come from more of a Reformed background or Calvinistic thinking, there are those within our camp that go a little too far in this respect. They believe since God is sovereign and in charge, and can we get an amen? He is. Amen? God is sovereign and in charge. We think then there's no responsibility and there's no rational thought and there's no decisions to be made on our end about anything. In other words, it's sort of fatalism. We can sort of live like we want, do what we want, and God's in charge. Well, if God's ready for you to go, you're going to go. Well, let me just say this. If you walk out in front of traffic, it might be God's time or not, but you're going. See, there's a balance in there between God's providence and sovereignty, which is absolutely fixed, immutable, and secure, but there's also a level of responsibility on our end. Now, here's what's happened. Some people have come along in the last 3 years, and they've written books, and they've done series of sermons, and they have television programs, and they want to teach this, that you can be perfectly healthy till the day you die. Now, look, I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, right? So here's the deal. I've never known of a healthy person to drop dead. Are you with me? You're saying, well, now, wait a minute, Terry. There's people that they have massive heart attacks. Well, okay. They're healthy until they have a massive heart attack. Are you hearing the problem here? They're perfectly healthy until they have a massive heart attack. The massive heart attack means you're... There you go. So it's impossible to stay perfectly healthy till the day you die. If you die and when you die, and the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this the judgment, you're going to have a sickness. Now that sickness might be only for a few seconds, but it's coming. Everybody's happy now. What a downer at church, right? We had a great time of worship, and now I'm bringing it down. No, there's good news. Just hang with me. The reality is that our life is winding down. Here's why God allows sickness. God allows sickness to remind you that heaven is better than here. God allows your body to wind down to remind you that eternity is more important than modernity. What's next is more important than what is. God wants to remind you always that we're simply passing through here. This isn't forever. How many of you glad there's something better coming? Amen? Man, I am. I'm thrilled there's something better coming. Sickness and struggle and broke bones and disease reminds us that this body isn't built forever. That one day it's going to wind down, it's going to stop, it's going to be over, and then we're going to go to heaven. But there's the other side. The other side is God cares about your health now. He wants you to be healthier than you are now. And matter of fact, so much so, he says some things in the Bible about it. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to 3 John. 3 John. Mike Black, I was informed to tell you that's after 2 John. All right, 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. Now, John's writing an introduction. Now, catch this. This phrase is a general introduction. It's not a, I'm calling down the power of heaven to wish this on you, but this is the heart of the writer who reflects the heart of God concerning people. This is God's heart filtered through John to us. And this is what he says. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper. Okay? The heart of God and the heart of the writer is for you to prosper. He wants you to do better next week than you did last week. He wants you to prosper more next month than you did this month. Isn't that good news? Yeah, amen. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, "It prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." It is the desire of God, it's the desire of the writer that you have better health. He wants you to be healthy. He doesn't want you to be sick or diseased or breaking down. God wants you to have a healthy life. Now, turn back, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And Paul says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" He said, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, which is God." So here's what Paul says. Paul says, look, your body is now the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It's not in the temple anymore. It's in you. You are now the temple of God. Therefore, there's two things that have to be true. There's God's laws that need to be adhered to make the temple a great place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. But then we want the temple to be functional, to be clean, to be able to be used. We want it to be healthy. That's implied too. Now, I know, listen, I had a roommate in college. And I used to think this too. I had a roommate in college. And he read this. He said, wait a minute. We're the temple of God. That's right. So the Spirit of God fills us. That's right. He said, so theoretically, if I go on a temple expansion program, I will have more of the Spirit of God, right? So here's what some people want to do. Let me expand so I get more of the Spirit. I'm going to be a blob of the Spirit, right? Right? I'm just going to grow. And that's not how it works, all right? That's absolutely not how it works. It's not the way it works. But so here's what the Scripture means, though. It means this. It means that it is God's will for us to take care of the temple, the body he gives us, so we can be used by him in the future. Now, health is so important to the Lord that in James, you don't have to turn there, but in James chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says that if any are among you sick, let him call for the elders, and the elders will anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith so that you might be healed from your sickness. God cares about your health so much that he prescribed a methodology, whereby some will be healed through that process. So God cares today about your health. Now, I'm not advancing a diet plan. I'm not writing a book. I'm not doing a bunch of series CDs and sell, you know, the Terry Wright diet. I mean, are you kidding me? Come on, right? I mean, you know, the Michelin Man diet plan, right? That would be mine. I'm not doing that. But what we want to do, because the title of our series is said, The Truth About Health. God cares about your health. You have some responsibility in your health. And God, listen, and it honors God when you honor the temple. Now, let me say that there are just a few areas we're going to talk about very quickly today. First is the area of our diet. Again, I'm not going to beat anybody up. We're not going to go on a diet plan and all this kind of stuff. But in 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Scripture says that in everything you do, whether you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God. So I want to talk about some common sense diet things that everybody can do that will help your temple get better. Okay? Here they are. I'm just going to share with you a few. First of all, anything that is fresh is better than anything that is canned. Is that common? I mean, are you with me on that? Some of you are saying, all right, Terry, this just stopped being church and started being... No, listen, here's the deal. Here's why we want you healthy. Are you ready for this? You remember during Jesus' passion when he was in the garden? Do you remember that? Do you remember he took Peter, James, and John with him? Do you remember he went away to pray and they went to sleep? He came back. They woke up. He went away to pray again. He came back. They were asleep. He went away again. And then what did eventually he say to them? Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Here's the deal. There's just a common principle here. The stronger you are physically, the more healthy you are physically, oftentimes, the more you get to be used by God. Now, that's not always true, because some of you are here today and you have besetting diseases and illnesses, and God has supernaturally empowered you and used you beyond that sickness to be a testimony and a witness to everybody around you. Can I get an amen? So this isn't a universal healing thing. This is simply saying there are some common sense things we can do to be healthier in our life. And if it's common sense, we need to try to do it. All right? One, healthy food, fresh food, whole food is better than canned food. If you can't get whole food, go with frozen food. That's your next best option, right? So, try hard to try to get whole foods. I got to tell you something. We stopped at County Line the other day, me and Renee, and I'm just going to tell you now, all y'all are smarter than me, and this is going to prove it, right? This is going to prove that y'all are smarter than me. I like Brussels sprouts. Any of y'all like Brussels sprouts? I like Brussels sprouts. I had no idea how Brussels sprouts grew. I had no idea how they grew. So me and Renee are walking up to the thing, right? And she says, "Hey, Terry, go over there and grab Brussels sprouts." I said, "I don't see them." She said, "Those big, huge, long stalks, those little balls on the end are Brussels sprouts." I'm like, "I didn't know." And so I go over and I pick up the Brussels sprouts, right? And I just didn't know. And so eating whole food, right, will educate you, one, because you'll figure out how they grow, right? And it's healthier for you. It just is. So from a dietary standpoint, try to do that. Second, I'm a diabetic, so white flour and sugar and all that is really bad for me. May I say something to you who are not diabetics? It's not really good for you. It may not be as bad for you as it is for me, but everything you read, and I've spent 2 weeks reading blogs and websites and different things, if you can reduce, and I'm not telling you to go crazy, but if you can reduce the amount of sugar and flour that you intake into your diet, you will feel better. You will just feel better. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and clean everything out and throw out, don't blame that on me. All right? I'm just saying you will be healthier if you can get rid of it. Yeah. If you can get rid of sugar and flour, you know, you'll be healthier. Third thing, if you pick up some food, and this is just a suggestion, if you pick up some food and look at it and it has words on it that you can't pronounce and you've never seen, you might want to think about not eating it. I mean, I'm just saying maybe. I mean, if your stuff on there that you're having to Google, okay, what is boom, 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 and then it comes up and it shows you this huge complex formula, it might not, God may not have made that. I'm just saying. That might have been put together in a lab somewhere, right? So just again, we're just having a common sense, truthful talk about our health, all right? So there. And then the next thing about your diet, when it comes to meats. I'm a carnivore. I eat meat. I do. I like it. Don't anybody come up to me hammering me on the Mosaic law about pork. I'm going to ignore you because I'm going to have a BLT if I want one, right? So, all right. But, here's the principle. Here's a common sense principle. Here's a common sense principle for you. The cleaner the food, the better it is for your body. So, if you can eat chicken that hasn't been jacked up on hormones, it's better than eating pig that has been jacked up on hormones. Are you with me? It's just better. So when it comes to meat, just try to look for the cleanest thing you can find. Now, finally, here's the key about diet. Moderation. If you don't want to change anything about your diet, change moderation. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's how I try to do it most of the time. I look at my normal serving size. And then I say, okay, that's what I normally would like. I cut it in half. That's just a common sense way to start. Listen, one of my best friends in high school, and this is a fact. Listen, one of my best friends in high school, dad, was 130 pounds overweight. He lost 130 pounds by that one process. He went from eating a plate of food to a saucer of food. Didn't change what he ate. He just changed the amount he ate. And over the process of 2 years, he lost 130 pounds. It works. Now, again, I'm not a nutritionist, so please don't come up and say, you should have said this, you should have said that. you're right. I'm going to agree with you now, so just understand everything I'm thinking Terry's going to say I'm right on. So, you know, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just saying I know common sense that works, right? So you gotta start with diet. Next is you have to do some exercise. Why? This, again, is inarguable by science. Science has proven this. This is true, that when you exercise, you reduce the risk of disease. You reduce the risk of heart disease. You reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes, which is what I have both. You reduce the risk of other diseases. Exercise helps. It doesn't cure everything. It doesn't fix everything. It doesn't make everything go away, but it helps in some areas. It will help you in some areas. You will feel better physically. And when you feel better physically, you work better. You know, it gives you more energy. Exercise will give you energy. So regardless of what your personal health is today, and man, listen, I pray all of you be in health, just like in 3 John. I pray all of you prosper and are in good health. I, as your pastor, that is my passion for you, is that you prosper and are in good health. But here's one way to get there, that if you'll just exercise a little, that'll help. Next, you'll live longer. We know that. That exercise helps you live longer. Now, I read an interesting article about 2 weeks ago as I was getting ready for this about people who exercise 5 days a week versus 2 days a week. The way the article was worded, it was worded sort of strange. It was worded sort of in the negative. Is it true, I think is how it started, that exercising only on the weekends has no benefit to your life? That was the idea. It was sort of a negative statement about weekend exercisers. Well, the results came back is that was false. That exercising on the weekends will help. If you don't exercise 5 days a week, but you just exercise on Saturday and Sunday, it says it will increase your health by 20 to 30%. So some exercise is better than no exercise. Some exercise is always better than none. So that's what we give for that. Next, it increases your mental well-being. If you get out and walk, listen, anybody, and maybe it's me because I'm older than I am younger now, I'm over halfway, but does your head ever get foggy? Anybody with me on that? How many of you don't want to admit it? I mean, doesn't your head sometimes get foggy? It does. And you know what helps? I'll take my dog for a walk. I'll take my dog and we'll go out and we'll walk 30 minutes and I'll get out in the sunshine. I'll get that vitamin D working. I'll walk, and when I come back, I'm thinking better than when I left. Listen, exercise will help you clear your mind. You don't have to be a marathon runner. You don't have to train for the Ironman. I'm not going to do it. You don't have to train for the Boston Marathon. I'm not going to do it. So we're not talking about an exercise regimen that destroys your life. Listen, exercise also causes you to increase the strength of your bone and muscles. And as we get older, not you young people yet, though you're going to get there, right? Those of us who are over halfway, all right, our bones and muscle health matters. This is just something that matters. And so exercise strengthens that. So what are some common sense things you could do? Let me go. I forgot to get common sense things about exercise. First of all, walk. Rather than parking by the door at Publix or wherever you shop, park as far away as you can. And say, well, I don't want to push the buggy. Well, that's the point. I don't want to walk that far. Again, that's the point. Park further away than closer up and get those extra steps. When you go to a building, and you guys have all heard this, I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard, okay? When you go to a building, take the steps rather than taking the elevator. You're like, I'm going to the 12th floor. Okay, maybe don't walk up 12 floors, but maybe you can walk down 12 floors. You know, find ways to add steps to your day. Find ways to add movement to your day. Find ways to move throughout the day in an intentional way. It will help you. Second, about muscles and joints. If you are not able to walk or able to exercise a lot, you can sit in your chair. And here's a couple of things you can do. You can sit in your chair and just do leg lifts. You can sit in your chair and just extend your legs and put them down. If you are not ambulatory for whatever reason, you can sit there and just lift your legs, drop them, lift your legs, drop them. And that will help some. Your muscles, it'll help your joints. It really will. Second thing, get some really light dumbbells. I mean like half a pound, really light dumbbells. And when you're sitting there, if you're watching TV or reading the paper, whatever you're doing, just sit there and do some curls. Do 20 with one arm. And then do 20 with the other. And then do presses. And then do the other presses. And then there's some flies. Just some little things like that. Just 5 minutes a day. You're saying 5 minutes a day will matter? It matters. Any little bit of movement that you get begins to matter. So get moving. Move. When your body's in motion, you know, it does help. It does work better. Here's the next thing for your health. Are you ready? Some of you are not going to like this one. Sleep. Sleep. You've got to sleep. If you are under the age of 14, it is recommended that you get 8 to 10 hours of sleep. Parents, grandparents, if you have children under 14, it is recommended that they get 8 to 10 hours of sleep. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying that's what the studies show. What happens when we sleep? When we sleep, our body repairs itself. When you sleep, your body begins to repair itself. It repairs itself quicker when you're asleep than when you're awake. So if you've worked out, if you've done something, if you've sprained an ankle, if you've wrenched a knee, if you've done something like that, when you sleep, your body repairs itself faster than when you're awake and moving. Second, we know now that your mind reboots itself when you sleep. It really does. Your memories are stored. Your mind reboots itself, and you're able to learn in a fresh and new way the next day if you get your sleep. How many of you need to go home and sleep for 12 hours right now? All right, there you go. Right. Some of you are sleeping now. Wake up. It's not time yet. So you have to sleep. Sleep has profound impacts on your health. Next, if you're over the age of 14, they say anywhere between 7 and 9 hours is recommended. It's 7 to 9. 7 to 9 hours. Yep. 7 to 9 hours. So that's important. Now, finally, and then we'll move in our time of communion, is stress. Stress. Stress is the number one problem Americans face when it comes to their health. Well, what is stress? Stress, the technical definition, is anything that disrupts the homeostasis of your body. In the Terry Wright definition, stress is anything that knocks you off balance. That's the Terry Wright definition. Anything that knocks you off balance, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, is a stressor. Anything that causes you to move into an unhealthy place is a stressor. Now, there is no question and no doubt some people are wired naturally to handle stress better than others. Some of you, maybe because it's genetic, maybe because of the environment you were raised in, maybe just your personality, you manage stress really, really well. You just do. Man, you can just manage it. It comes at you and you can, bam, you can deal with it. You can knock it off. I mean, you just deal with stress. Some of you, if you get stopped twice through a cycle at the red light, you're ready to jump off the bridge. I mean, you are. Oh, I got to stop again at the red light. I'm jumping off the bridge. I mean, the littlest thing just throws. I mean, you're ready, you know, jump off the bridge, do a gainer. Wham, I'm done. And I mean, it's different for everyone as far as how you manage it. But here's the unifying universal truth is this. Stress will kill you if you can't manage it. Now, that is 100% true. How many people have you known? And I guarantee you, all of you know somebody who's gone to the doctor with symptoms of a heart attack or a stroke or something like that, or their body's all out of whack, and they do test after test after test after test. And then finally, the doctor sits down with them, gets all the tests back, and they talk to you and they listen to you, and the doctor looks at you and says, "Stress. You have to find a way to get out of it." I know people who have retired from their jobs early, quit their jobs, gone into a different profession, changed their whole lifestyle, because if they didn't, the stress was going to kill them. I want to tell you something, stress is a real deal. And there's an antidote to it. In the Bible, in Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing. Be stressful for nothing. But in all things," right, "through prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." When you are stressed, when you're knocked off balance, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who cares. There is a God who knows you. There is a God who's able. If you will take those prayers and concerns to Him, His peace will protect your heart and protect your mind, because He's that kind of God. Listen, I wish I could tell you that it's God's will for everyone to be healed perfectly of all things until the day you are translated into heaven. But that simply isn't the experience of humanity. That's not what God says. But God does say He cares about your health, and He loves you. And if you have health issues, there is a process that the church can do. We can anoint you with oil if you request it. We could call the elders together. We can anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith that God would heal you. We can do that, and we've done that. God has worked in some situations profoundly. Others, He's worked over time. In other situations, it's a process, right? But we just believe God cares about your health. So you should care about your health. In just a minute, we're going to pray. I know this hasn't maybe been a typical Sunday for you, but I love you. And I want you to have health, good health. And there's some common sense things we can do together to go down that road. And that's not being unspiritual. John cared about the health of his people. God cares about your health. I'm not asking you to go crazy. I'm not asking you to go get the latest diet fad and all that. Typically, they don't work. Common sense. Cut down portions. Shop the outer aisles. Right? Y'all know this. Shop the outer aisles at the grocery store. Cut down portions. Move. Get some sleep. And de-stress. Get some stressful things out of your life. Our goal here, you know, we pray for you guys. I'll start praying this afternoon for you next Sunday. And part of our goal is that when you come, that you leave with the load of the week lightened in your life. That the load that's been put on you is lifted. And if we're not doing that, then we're not accomplishing our mission. We have to lighten that load. The Holy Spirit does that. And the Holy Spirit convicts and changes lives. And we want to create an environment where you can come and not be stressed and pressured and pounded. And so we work really hard to provide that environment where you can hear from the Lord, be encouraged, and lighten the load of the journey, to be sure. Listen, God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to have better health. So let's just do some common sense things. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, if you will. As we bow our heads in prayer, I want to invite those who are serving communion today to come forward. As we prepare for communion, Scripture teaches us that some have gotten sick, some have even passed because they've come to the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner. So I wonder if you need to take just a few minutes right now and ask the Lord to forgive you of sins. Maybe there's sins of commission, sins you've actively committed. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you, or maybe sins of omission. You know, the good things that you're supposed to do that you didn't. Next. Is there someone in your life right now that you need to offer forgiveness to? Is there someone, maybe they're not in this room, maybe they're many states away, but you just need right now in your heart to forgive them? Let's not come to the table of the Lord with bitterness in our heart and unforgiveness. So right now, just extend forgiveness to them wherever they may be. Just extend forgiveness to them. Just say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so for what they did. I just forgive them right now. Because I don't want to come to the table with bitterness or unforgiveness in my heart. Maybe you're sitting there and you realize right now, you know what? I'm the person who's offended someone, and I need to get that forgiveness. So right now, I wonder if you would just say, Lord, at my first opportunity, I'm going to seek out so-and-so, and I'm going to ask their forgiveness. I'm going to text them, call them, email them, whatever. I'm just going to ask their forgiveness. So just forgive me for the wrong I've done. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity today to come together to worship, to pray, to seek your face. And now, Father, we pray that you would be with us as we come to your table. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your life, death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for giving yourself for us. And Father, be with us now as we enter this time of communion. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A couple things for you about communion before we receive communion together. Here at Grace, we practice what's called open communion. We believe that if you're a Christian, if you know Christ, you're invited to his table. This isn't our table. It's not mine. It's not the church's. It's the Lord's. It is his death. It is his burial and resurrection that we celebrate as we come to the table. And so it's his. So if you're a believer today, you're invited. Second, we offer two modes of the way to receive communion. One is where you would take the bread and the both sides will remind you of the same thing, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Watch the Bible says, and we'll read that in a minute. You'll just take a piece of the bread, you'll dip it, and take the element on your way back to your seat. The other way is a way you might be more familiar with, which is the cup method. All right. Make sure there's the bread here and the juice here. Make sure you get both of those. The person will remind you of what the elements are, what they symbolize. And so please take both of those, and you can receive that on the way back to your seat, or you can wait till you get there. That choice is yours. But we offer both methods here. I touched that, so we'll put that right there. I won't make you touch the one I touched. So there you go. All right. So we invite you to do either. Now, again, you do not have to be a member of our fellowship. If you know Christ today, you are welcome at his table. The way we'll do it is if this side will sort of come here, this side come here, this side split down the middle if you can, that'll be great. Now, those of you who have allergy issues and you need something a little bit more protected, we do have some of that up there. We ask that you do withhold that because we do have people with medical issues that need that. So those of you with medical issues, we have that for you as well. Okay? Stand with me, if you will, as I read the word, and then we pray. The Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Now in the same way that night he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body offered up and your blood that was shed. Now as we come to communion and encounter you in a spiritually dynamic way, Lord, we pray that you would challenge and change our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come to the table.